Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, and welcome back to Your Family Dog. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here as usual with Colleen Pilar. But today, we have two special guests. We have Dr. Heather Lane and retired Staff Sergeant Jason Manley. They're with us today because they represent the Veteran Companion Animal Services Charity. And what that does is it provides companion animals to veterans of the United States Armed Services. Dr. Heather Lane is a veterinarian. She's a very strong supporter of veterans and military families. And she thought of the idea of Veteran Companion Animal Services during her last year of vet school and has worked to make it a reality since then. She strongly supports the concept of One Health and believes that the human-animal bond is an important piece of this. Several generations of her family members have served in the armed forces, and she has seen firsthand the impact their pets have had on their lives. And she is the co-founder and president of the Selection Committee and Veterinary Committee Chair, so she's a very busy woman, as well as having a full-time career in veterinary medicine, so she's very active. Jason Manley is the vice president. He's a retired Army Staff Sergeant. He's also in charge of Veteran Recruitment and Alumni Affairs Committee Chair. He graduated from Lesson High School in Columbus, Ohio, and he enlisted in the United States Army. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He has received 4 Army Achievement Medals, 2 Army Commendation Medals, and the Army Commendation Medal with Valor. So he certainly has served his country with honor. After serving, he came back and found himself in the throes of post-traumatic stress syndrome. He was struggling to find relief. He turned to a shelter dog named Abraham Lincoln. What a great name for a dog. He adopted Abraham and through training developed a bond that enriched both of their lives and provided real relief from his symptoms. So after experiencing the benefits of an emotional support animal firsthand, he then began working at Columbus State Community College and started and met Dr. Heather Lane and is now working with the Veteran Companion Animal Services to help veterans and shelter dogs in the Columbus area and around Ohio. So welcome to both of you. Thank you so much for what you are doing and for joining us here on Your Family Dog.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate you having us on and allowing us to share our story. It's an important one for many veterans that come home from war, and we appreciate your attention on the matter.
We're happy to be here. So, Colleen, do you have a question for Heather and Jason?
Well, I want to start with a question for Jason, and really it's all about Abraham Lincoln because obviously that's where my interest lies. So tell me a little bit about Abraham Lincoln. What kind of dog is he? How old is he? How'd you pick him? Tell us about him.
Abraham Lincoln comes from the Franklin County shelter. He was 1 year old when I went to the shelter to adopt another dog. That dog had been adopted out before I got there. So as I walked in and looked around, I saw this little scrawny boxer named Dorian, which wasn't actually his name. They had just found him on the street. So I asked the volunteer if I could meet Dorian. And that I wanted to train him to be a service dog. And the volunteer told me that it would be almost impossible to train a boxer to be a service dog. So I said I would take him. And I signed the papers, took him home. I changed his name to Abraham Lincoln to try to give him something to live up to.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. One thing I will say about the Franklin County Humane Society or shelter, the one on Morse Road, is I know that the Ohio State University Veterinary Behavior Department has done a lot of work there and tries very hard to make sure that the animals that come out of that shelter are really adoptable and ready to be adopted. So it's a great shelter here in the Columbus area. So Abraham Lincoln, that is, please tell me that when you call him, you're not out there yelling, Abraham Lincoln, come. Do you say his full name the whole time, or do we have nicknames for Abraham Lincoln?
Well, ma'am, he only gets called Abraham Lincoln when he's in trouble. And he's either Abraham Lincoln, or my buddy.
Okay. I like that. So Heather, how did this come to you? You said you thought of the idea during your last year of veterinary school. What was the impetus for this?
Yes. So during my last year of veterinary school, I was trying to decide what I was going to do after vet school as far as practice and beyond practice. And through my time just shadowing and working in veterinary atmospheres, you know, it was just so apparent how beneficial dogs were to, I mean, everybody, but especially veterans, and even just, you know, being around family members that had served and seeing their relationships with their animals, how strong and powerful that bond can be. And I've also done a few trips internationally and seen this as well. So it's this bond is worldwide. It's very, very strong, very well built. And I just felt a need to kind of explore it and see what we could do with it. And could we bring such a powerful bond to people that really needed it and people that have done so much for our country. We just want to thank them so much for what they've done so that we can all live the lives that we have. And what we do with our own lives is only because of what they've done in service. And we'd like to now serve them by enriching their lives with a dog.
So I have a question about the name of your group. It's Veteran Companion Animal Services. Are you providing companion animals or service animals in your program?
That's a great question. We do get that a lot. And we went back and forth, you know, would we like to provide service animals as well? But there are several organizations that provide service dogs for veterans, and they're doing great work. But there are also several veterans that don't need a service dog or don't necessarily want a service dog. You know, when a service dog is working, they have to wear a vest and identification. And not every veteran wants to have a dog that has to wear a vest when it's out and about. Obviously, because they're companion animals and not service animals, there are some limitations. You know, they can't go into a restaurant unless they were to further train their dog as a service dog, and that would be up to them at that point in time. But it is companion animals, but what we're providing is a bond, and that bond is so important, and they don't need to be a service animal to provide that bond for the veteran.
Oh, I agree completely.
I do too. So tell me where I know that you have gotten, because I worked with one of your dogs, Bandit, and he came from the Franklin County shelter. Is that correct? If I remember correctly?
He came from the Delaware County.
Delaware County. That's right. I'm sorry. I knew it was one of the county shelters. So are you dedicated then to always receiving your dogs from shelters? Is that part of the mission?
I would like to think that our mission kind of encompasses more than just rescuing dogs from the shelter. Another part of our program that isn't often talked about is we offer 5 weeks of professional training to veterans that already own a dog. So what we've done is we've helped veterans that need a dog by placing a companion animal with them and providing them services. And then what we've done for all the veterans that already own a dog, we also want to help them. So we bring them into our frontline training class, and we give them 5 weeks of personalized instruction so that at the end of that training, they all pass a certain certification called...
Oh, it's the AKC Canine Good Citizen Test. And yes, this is what we do with our veterans, but those dogs, just to get back to the question real quick, those all of our dogs that we place are from shelters. They're not going to be from maybe at some point in time they were from a breeder, but somehow they ended up in a shelter. So it's a dog that is in need of a home that we place.
I love that you provide training to people who have a dog already. I think that's really cool because it really is about building the bond and the communication.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So can you tell us maybe one of your success stories?
Well, you know, beyond my success story with Abraham Lincoln, I can speak to the effect that our first dog, Bandit, has had on his new veteran, Damon. When we placed Bandit with Damon, it was around 7:30 at night. We get him to him, so we place Bandit. The next day, I call in to check up, see how the first night went, see how the morning was, just, you know, normal, you know, things to, you know, go over. And he didn't answer. So he calls me back about 30 minutes later, and they had just completed their fifth walk. And for the first time in 2 years, Damon woke up before 8 a.m. and wanted to. So what we what we know is that veterans struggle when they leave the service finding meaning beyond themselves. Mm-hmm. What we do is when we place a dog in their care, from that day forward, they now have meaning beyond themselves. Mm-hmm. That is how veterans recover. They rarely do it for themselves. They have to have something that they care about more than themselves. So, I mean, immediately, the dog has immediate benefits for the veteran that can be a renewable resource of relief without any risk of addiction other than it being addicted to a loving, caring companion.
And we're wired for that addiction. So that one's okay.
Yeah. Colleen and I totally approve of that addiction.
Yeah.
That's one that we
do not want to do withdrawal.
No canine withdrawal here.
It's not pretty.
Amen.
So, well, that's terrific. I'm so pleased that Bandit has been, has worked out well with Damon.
How many dogs have you placed?
So Bandit is actually the first dog that we have placed. We have been working very hard to make sure that our program has a solid foundation, because the last thing we would want to do is place a dog and not have a support system in place for that veteran and dog team. So this has taken years to lay that foundation, make sure it's solid, make sure that we have all the checks and balances in place to have this be a positive experience for everybody involved, not only for the veteran, but for the dog as well. So Bandit's actually our first dog, but we have four other dogs that are going through our training. Basically, we're in the midst of that training as we speak, working on their AKC Canine Good Citizen Certification. And then later on this year, we'll be placing another 1 to 2 dogs and holding another class for about 4 to 5 dogs as well.
Great. I'm going to jump over her again. I see her moving and I'm like, nope, sorry, my turn. I want a brief bio on the other four dogs.
So we can talk about Chris and Chase. Chase is an Australian Shepherd. He is 8 months old. He has been through PetSmart's general pet training, but Chris was really looking for, you know, a little more advanced training, a little more more of a solid foundation for Chase, because he is a super smart, super loving, soft Australian Shepherd. Mm-hmm. So that's Chris and Chase. And then we have Elizabeth and Bernadette. And Bernadette.
Which one's the dog?
Bernadette, believe it or not.
Yeah, Bernadette is a Bernese Mountain Dog standard poodle mix.
She's a Bernapoodle.
Mm-hmm.
Bernapoodle. And then we also have Ashley. And Ashley came with Django, which Django looks exactly like a German Shepherd that is 100% golden. So he's a golden retriever German Shepherd mix.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, those are very interesting dogs. So I think it's important to note that one of the veterans who is going through your program is a woman. I think we tend to think of veterans perhaps more as men, but women are more and more becoming, you know, veterans of the armed services, and they suffer from the same issues that men have in the past, which is, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. So in order to qualify for a dog for your program, how do you find veterans to qualify for your program? Do they call you? And I'm assuming that they don't have to have a diagnosis, or how do you find people?
Yeah. So we do a lot of outreach events, just trying to get the word out about our program and what we do. And then from there, the veterans that are interested can go to our website and they can fill out an application for a dog. And once they fill out that application, it actually goes to Jason. Jason reviews the application, and then we follow up with a phone interview just to see their interest level, make sure they fully understand our program and the responsibility of owning a dog. And then depending on how that interview goes, then we move on to a home visit as well. But primarily just through the website is how they can apply for a dog.
Okay. So what are you looking for in a home visit?
So a lot of our pre-work is actually done through our application process and then the phone interview. We ask several questions before we move to the home visit. So by the home visit, we have a pretty good idea of how things are. But I know you guys definitely understand this with your background, but we want to make sure we're placing the right dog with the veteran. It's a great time to really see the veteran's lifestyle in addition to what they've told us, but actually seeing, you know, how they like to keep things, what their life is like. Is a lap dog going to be better than a high energy dog for them? And it all just depends on how their life is. And then it also just gives us the time to meet face to face and make them more comfortable with who we are and have more time to ask questions as well.
Great. So, do you have any other dogs in the pipeline right now?
At this point in time, we don't have any other dogs. So how we do it is we find our veteran that is going to, we're going to place a dog with. And then from that point in time, knowing that veteran's needs, what they're looking for, a little bit more about their lifestyle, then we go and find a dog that's specific for that veteran. So once we wrap up this class, our board goes into pre-planning for the next round, and then we will decide that then.
Yeah, we have five Patriots, five veterans that that are in the works of getting a dog. But what that means is that they've submitted an application online, then they have went through, I will call them personally, get to know the veteran, get to know the family, get to know everything that we need to know. And then I generate an initial report that basically just describes the veteran and who that veteran is. And then that gets forwarded to Heather and she goes on the hunt for the perfect dog. So we tend to our Patriots first and then we find a dog that meets them.
Perfect.
Excellent. Yeah, I think Colleen and I are both nodding away. You can't see us, but we're both nodding. Yes. Why should everybody do this? Everybody should think about who they are, what their activity level is, what is it they expect in a dog? You know, what kind of lifestyle do I have? Am I highly active or I'm more of a couch potato, whatever? And then go out in search of the dog that fits rather than try and make the dog fit the lifestyle. So, bravo. I think Colleen and I are both very excited to hear that is the way in which you are doing it. So that's excellent. So how long, now when these veterans, Colleen, I got you this time. So with the veterans, when they're going through this process, do you give them any kind of a timeline? I mean, they don't call and expect to have a dog immediately. Do they understand that finding the right dog might take a few months?
Yes. When I call the veteran, whether it be to bring their own dog to training or whether it be to place a dog, I make sure that they know exactly what part of the process that they're in. I handle every part of their process up until the dog is delivered to them. So at each part of the process, I will call, inform, and continue to stay in contact so that the veterans that are waiting, they're not waiting in limbo. We try to take that uncertainty away. Even though it'll be a little bit of a wait, they know it.
Jason, can you tell me a little bit about how your relationship with Abraham Lincoln has helped you?
I'll try to without getting emotional. So, you know, it's hard when your past burns so bright that you can't see your future. And that's kind of where I was stuck. The day that I got Abraham, tomorrow was a blank canvas again. It no longer mattered that I wasn't in the Army. It didn't matter that I wasn't Staff Sergeant. I mattered to Abraham. And that's the beginning of the miracle. And then from there, I trained him myself. So what I found was that during each training session, I wasn't thinking about Iraq. I wasn't thinking about anything that stressed me out. I was only thinking about Abraham and how happy he was to get the treats and how he couldn't wait to do the next task. So, you know, it's really given me a way to handle anxiety, depression, loneliness in a positive way that continues to provide relief daily.
I think that was beautiful, except for that you made Julie cry.
Yes, you did make me cry. So sort of in a tissue alert on that one. No, it was a beautiful testament. And the power of dogs to heal, because for if nothing else, they keep you in today. They keep mm-hmm. you in the moment right now. So that, as you're saying, you weren't thinking about the past and the future was a blank slate because you're so focused in the here and now. And that's just such an important part of healing, is knowing that all I have to do is be here right now.
Yeah. Dogs are the best mindfulness teachers.
They really are. So that was a lovely testimony. One of my questions is, are you a unique organization? Is there anything else like you, either in the Midwest or nationwide, or are you sort of a brand new entity here?
Well, we would like to think that we serve all of the veterans and military members that don't qualify for a service animal, that don't have a disability to serve. And where we differ with other organizations is that we don't just deliver a dog. We help them paint that canvas so that they are both on their way to having a positive experience together. So we don't just drop the dog off. We foster a relationship so that they can experience the same relief that I have with Abraham Lincoln.
That's wonderful.
And in addition to that, we don't require that the veterans have a diagnosed condition. If you've served, you're eligible for our program.
Which is also important, because it doesn't really, the relationship piece, any one of us could benefit. So
yes, and
it doesn't need to be
a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of veterans that, you know, aren't seeking help for these. They're not necessarily diagnosed, but just because they don't have a diagnosis doesn't mean they can't benefit from a companion animal.
Oh, absolutely. I personally don't think there's a person on the planet who couldn't benefit from a companion animal of some kind, even a companion animal snake. I mean, not that I'm a big fan of snakes, but, you know, I think having anything that gets you outside of yourself that you have to care for. And especially one that reciprocates affection. I don't know if snakes reciprocate affection. I'm not thinking they do a whole lot. And I'm not thinking frogs do much either, but frogs are a little bit cuter. But I diverge. I think anybody can really, really benefit from a companion animal, because I think both Colleen and I believe very strongly that dogs make us more human, that the companionship and the bond that we have with dogs and with cats are what help us to rise to be the very best people that we can be.
The things that Abraham Lincoln does to serve my disability are different than the things he does to save my life daily. And we just want to get that life-saving energy, that life-saving medicine into more veterans' hands. And that's our way of helping this veteran crisis.
That's wonderful. But once again, are you the only one who's doing something like this? Are there any other organizations that you know of that are doing something similar to what you're doing? Or are they all more really service animal organizations?
I'm aware of a group that does Places Companion.
Okay.
In Virginia.
When I adopted Abraham, I actually sought out any program that would help me train him. But the only people that would help me train him was for money. So that's where I kind of started to get into this because, you know, veterans that have the dog, unless they get a service dog or pay, that no one really provides training, or I couldn't find any.
Well, I think what you're doing is just really super. If someone were needed or would like to contact you, what would be the best way for them to do that? Would it be through your website?
You can go to www.vcascharity.org. You can find a variety of information on our website. And if you need to contact us further, our email and phone number is on there as well.
And wonderful. If you want to donate, I noticed that when I was on the website, there is a place where you can donate to help this organization with their mission, which is truly a wonderful mission for both both animals and for veterans. So there is a place to donate as well. So is there anything that we have not covered that you would like to get out there for people to know about Veteran Companion Animal Services?
I think we did a good job kind of explaining what we do and why. I think just maybe solidify that our mission is to enrich the lives of our military families, veterans, and dogs through the human-animal bond. And that's really what everything has been built around for VCAS.
And how long have you been an organization?
We have been a 501c3 now, I believe, for 2 years, but several years up to that point, just developing and then finalizing what our plans were going to be.
Good. I'm glad you took the time to really organize it correctly so that you could move forward. So thank you both so much for joining us here on Your Family Dog, as well as for what you're doing for veterans. It's a wonderful program. And we, Colleen and I think I speak for Colleen, and I say we really do applaud you for the work that you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on, and we wish you all the best of luck. Colleen, you have anything to add to that?
No, I think I'm just going to agree with you. This was awesome. Thanks so much for sharing your stories.
Thank you so much. I know Jason and I both really enjoyed it as well.
Oh, good. All right. Well, thanks.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.